Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Investors still reacting to European debt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Toyota recalls take two. And what to do with police clunkers? That's later. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up by more than 1%. The NASDAQ an even percent. And the Dow higher now by 120 points, 10,028, back above the 10,000 mark. McDonald's today reporting a 2.5% sales increase. International sales, the driver there. Coca-Cola today reported today that business was up 5%, and revenues rose in the fourth quarter there. Asian markets closed mixed today. The Hang Seng was up. Shares in Europe are higher right now, about 0.5% or even more. Investors in Europe are feeling a little more comfortable with the prospects of some kind of solution to the debt problems in Greece, Spain, and Portugal and other countries. European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet is heading to a special European Union summit to deal with it on Thursday in Brussels. Julie Neiman is with us. She's an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis with some analysis this morning. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So what's the remedy here? I mean, do we see a bailout coming for Greece and these other countries?
Short-term, long-term remedy for it. Short-term, everybody's planning on a bailout. Well, that basically just means that Germany is going to be doing the bailout because they're the linchpin of the European Economic Community. But all that does is force everything further on down the line. Round one to the global credit crisis was caused by the U.S. and housing mortgages. Round two is going to be a new version of subprime, and that's national debt crisis. And it's really focusing around Club Med, not my phrase, but it's really around Greece, Spain, Italy, and Portugal.
Mediterranean, I assume.
You bet.
What happens if Greece and these other countries default? What goes on there?
Well, probably the biggest thing is what happens to who owns it. Now, Greece currently has, in dollar equivalent, about $400 billion worth of bonds out there. It's owned by international bond funds, pension companies, insurance companies, banks. You can see what happens with that. These are all the folks who also own mortgages as well. Round two of the crisis begins. Take that and go through Italy and the other countries, and you've got a huge problem with the bonds that are owned. But they're going to have to take severe fiscal measures to try and pull things back in line. That's going to cause a recession in all of those countries.
Julie Neiman in St. Louis, we thank you.
You bet.
All right. More recalls for Toyota. This time it's the late model Prius hybrid and its brake system getting the attention. More than 400,000 of them are being called back, half in the United States. Toyota's already called back 8 popular models because of problems with sudden acceleration. The economy may be growing again, but mood among small businesses remains sullen. That's according to a new survey this morning from the National Federation of Independent Business. Reporter Brett Neely has more.
The survey tracks how small business owners feel about the economy.
The headline is optimism improved, but it's still in the dumpster.
Bill Dunkelberg is the group's chief economist. Though the economy is recovering, Dunkelberg says small businesses remain far more pessimistic now than they were during the last deep recession in the early 1980s. The Obama administration plans to increase lending to small businesses in a bid to create jobs. But Dunkelberg says most of the small businesses surveyed haven't had trouble getting a loan.
Making credit available is really not the issue now. We need consumer stimulus. That'll help out.
Instead of concentrating on lending, Dunkelberg says the government should temporarily cut payroll and other taxes. He says that would get people out spending money and brighten the outlook for small business. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, February 9th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Another day, another recall for Toyota. It's the late model Prius Hybrid and its brake system that's getting a lot of attention today. More than 400,000 of them are being recalled, half of them right here in the United States. Now, Toyota's already called back 8 popular models because of sudden acceleration. And why so many of them? Because they share so many parts. It's a concept called commonization. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, in this case, it's causing a lot of problems.
Commonizing parts can save a lot of money, so manufacturers have been doing more and more of it. And Toyota has always been the master. John Hanke is an auto industry consultant at Planning Perspectives. He says commonization can make the end product cheaper.
Because the auto companies are putting the same part on more vehicles, and so they can get better prices from their suppliers.
They save on R&D costs, and there's no extra cost for setting up production. But when something goes wrong with a part, like Toyota's accelerators, it can end up being a problem for lots of different vehicles. Hanke says it would be too expensive to go back to using multiple different parts and suppliers, but that there are ways car makers can mitigate the potential damage.
One thing they have to continue to do is to be very vigilant on the quality of the products that are coming in to the plant.
And he says car makers need to make sure they're collecting and analyzing data from dealers around the world so they can identify small problems before they get too big. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Swiss banking giant UBS is finally making some money again. The bank suffered the heaviest losses among European banks during the credit crisis. Well, today, UBS reported its first profit in more than a year, $1 billion. But as Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard reports, there's trouble behind those numbers.
The Swiss banking giant has returned to profit, but today's results also reveal a worrying trend. The exodus of wealthy clients is gathering speed. Analyst Michael Press says the big crackdown on tax evasion in the US and Europe is rattling the nerves of some of UBS's richest depositors.
What they're principally concerned about is that they're going to be discovered. They basically mean fleeing taxes in their respective home countries, and that is now in much greater danger of being exposed than has ever been the case before.
UBS says the return to profit will, in time, bring back the rich clientele. But Michael Prest isn't so sure. He believes as the secrecy is eroded, the attractions of Swiss banking will recede. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If you fly Continental Connection or United Express, chances are it's not Continental or United flying your plane. It may very well be a regional carrier such as Colgan Air. Colgan operated the Continental flight that crashed a year ago in Buffalo, New York, killing 50 people. Tonight, PBS's Frontline reports the pilots who fly regional routes are often underpaid and overworked, a combination that can prove deadly in the skies. Miles O'Brien has more.
Regional airlines like Colgan have been involved in every one of the last 6 fatal commercial airline accidents in the U.S. Corey Heiser used to fly for Colgan. He says regional pilots work long hours for low pay.
My first year was, I made a little over $22,000 gross.
The Federal Aviation Administration says airline pilots can't fly more than 8 hours a day. That's to make sure pilots don't get tired and make mistakes in the air. But FAA work rules allow pilots to be on duty for up to 16 hours a day. And Colgan pilots only get paid for the hours they fly.
We are only paid when the door's closed and the engines are running. We may be on duty for 80 hours a week and get paid for 20 of it, if we're lucky.
For many regional airlines, like Colgan, their pay from the majors is based not on the number of passengers they carry, but on the number of flights they complete. Clay Fouché is a congressional investigator and former airline executive. He says this pay scheme could undermine safety.
Because if you have a cancellation or you deviate due to weather, are they actually going to get paid for flying? Or are we incentivizing regional carriers to actually complete segments when it may not be safe to do so?
The industry group representing these airlines says that would never happen. Roger Cohen is president of the Regional Airline Association. He says profit never trumps safety.
Safety is the number one priority, and there is no airline, no matter what the business arrangement, that would ever operate any aircraft at any time and risk the safety of the passengers and crew.
But Corey Heiser and other Colgan Air pilots say safety sometimes took a back seat to the bottom line at Colgan.
The saying around the company was always move the rig. And that just kind of told me that they were willing to kind of push the bounds.
Why were they pushing?
Because if we didn't move those airplanes, they didn't make any money.
In Cocoa Beach, Florida, I'm Miles O'Brien for Marketplace.
By the way, to hear Miles' report in its entirety, tune into Frontline tonight. It airs on most PBS stations at 9 o'clock Eastern. France's nuclear power giant Areva is buying a Silicon Valley solar startup. Areva aims to dominate solar thermal power, too, and it hopes California-based OSRA will help achieve that goal. As Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, the solar industry is beginning to consolidate.
Some of Silicon Valley's biggest venture capitalists poured more than $130 million into OSRA, but that wasn't enough to launch big solar thermal plants. Those are the kind that concentrate the sun's energy to power steam turbines. OSRA needed deeper pockets, and Areva has them. Think of Areva as a sort of French GE. Spokesman Jarrett Adams says the global market for this kind of solar power could reach 20 gigawatts in the next decade.
That's the equivalent of about 20 large power plants. And we expect that we would be the market leader in this segment.
Analyst Nat Bullard at New Energy Finance expects more big conglomerates to gobble up clean energy startups in the U.S., many based overseas.
It will not be just the largest companies from Europe that come. It'll be the largest companies from Japan and Korea, China as well.
Areva said today it plans to build solar plants all over the world, including the southwestern U.S. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
You know, word of mouth has long been one of the most effective ways for businesses to get their names out. Well, these days, social media websites such as Facebook and Twitter are taking word of mouth to a new level. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, a new study finds the buzz generated in social circles isn't worth what it once was.
If someone like you gave you information about a company, would you believe it?
Trust in a person like yourself actually plummeted this year.
That's Richard Edelman, CEO of the Edelman PR Company. 2 years ago, almost half those surveyed said they trusted friends and peers as a source of information about companies. This year, it's down to 27%. Why? Edelman says people may be once bitten, twice shy.
Advice that they got from their friends to invest in some of those companies was sort of dud.
In terms of marketing, Edelman says that a single recommendation is no longer enough to sway jaded consumers.
People have to hear something somewhere between 3 and 5 times from different people in different places in order to believe it now, because we're in a time of skepticism.
Selective skepticism. The same survey showed an increase in our trust of CEOs. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
So you may not think of a police car as clunker, but today's budget realities have more law enforcement agencies, including one in Alabama, keeping aging cruisers on the road. From Birmingham, reporter Gigi Duban has more.
Patrol cops pretty much spend their entire shift in their cars. They spend so much time that they wear holes through the seats. Their flashlights constantly snag on the door, leaving the weather stripping ragged. Factor in a few high-speed chases, lots of idling, writing out traffic tickets, and you'll get a patrol car that just doesn't drive or look like it used to. But how about this one? This, believe it or not, is Deputy David Bassett's way of finding out. He's with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. Bassett guns the engine down a two-lane road.
Drives like a brand new car.
This car, a Ford Crown Victoria, has 194,000 miles on it. But instead of sending it to the scrapyard or auctioning it off, the sheriff's office decided to refurbish it, along with about 100 other cars. Earlier, the car I rode in with Bassett was here, at a garage, getting the car equivalent of a testosterone shot.
It's got a remanufactured engine and a remanufactured transmission. You got new shocks, front suspension.
Fresh coat of paint, new steering wheel, new seats. All told, the repairs cost less than $15,000. A new patrol car, fully loaded, would have cost about $40,000. Jefferson County Sheriff's Captain Paul Logan says it's a substantial savings.
We expect to easily get another 150,000 miles out of them.
The county recently came close to declaring bankruptcy, and the sheriff's budget for new vehicles, zero. So Logan, who heads the narcotics unit, suggested using seized drug money to refurbish cars. Fred Wilson is with the National Sheriff's Association. He says tight budgets are forcing police agencies around the country to squeeze more miles out of their fleets.
With today's maintenance techniques, you can take a car a long way and you can still get what you need out of it. But there's always some question as to the structural integrity of the vehicle after a certain amount of years.
But for now, the plan is to ride them as long as they can. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, in Japan, a company called HappyNet is marketing a pedometer called the Taxi Walker. In addition to counting steps, it calculates how much money you save on cab fares by walking. The most popular color, yellow, with checkerboard trim. Cab driver attitude sold separately. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Hey, get the podcast delivered fresh to you every day. And share your thoughts with us, too, at our website, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.